Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. Thanks for coming by this morning. Friday is always recap day. And Shelley had a very important errand that she had to do this morning, helping some friends. So she won't be with us this morning. But I assured her she would be missed and let her know that it would be all right because I'm just going to talk about everything that we talked about all week. However, before I do that, I want to mention that the more I delve into this this story about the problems with our mental challenges in this world, every day, without hardly searching for anything, there's a story right in my face. This morning, it popped up on my Bing search engine that a man in Wisconsin had put his teenage daughter, in a cell in the basement and was starving her. She was down to 68 pounds. And he's, of course, being prosecuted. But the story is much deeper than that, much, much deeper than that. It's a story of two different families, the mother and the father, who are separated with step-parents involved, step-brother involved. It's a lifetime of horrors for this girl. She was born mentally challenged, apparently, for as much of the story as I could get this morning. I will continue to research it. But because of her affliction, she was abused. Nobody knew what to do with her, and I don't know yet at this point in time whether or not anybody sought additional help to give to her, but their answer was to put her in there's a picture of an actual jail cell in the basement of this house. And the father claims that she wouldn't eat, that he couldn't do anything with her, that she was prone to harming herself and other people. So again, this was his answer. And I question how easy it is to get help. Even though I was at this seminar, even though I heard all these amazing people who have dedicated their lives to making this better. Every time I make a phone call to someplace and don't get called back, don't even often get through to the person I'm trying to get through. Places that save lives don't answer the phone. I've called 911 before and been put on hold. That is true. That is a true story. I have called 911 and gotten through to somebody who said, this is the wrong place, I have to redirect this call. And I've gotten on the phone to call 911 for an emergency and been put on hold while they figured out where the call was supposed to go. So just like a couple weeks ago when Shelley and I were talking about getting help from the FBI, some things the FBI really steps in and takes over. And I questioned her then, and she's been researching this. How easy is it to get somebody, a bona fide somebody, in an office of such great importance as the Federal Bureau of Investigation on the phone? So it leads us into another arena that is mismanaged or ill-managed, and for some people, out of reach. Those of you that only live with a cell phone now, and you're hooked into a two-year agreement with somebody that charges you by the minute, how expensive is it to stay on hold for 45 minutes? All of your conglomerates like your electric company and your cable company, that's like a series of, you know, almost, if it wasn't so annoying, laughable menagerie of different phones that you go through. Anyway, this made me think, when I see a problem like this, and I think to myself, what the hell's the matter with these people? Why didn't they seek out help? Then I also get stuck in my own head as I'm going through the moves of how they would get that help. I want everybody to think about that. Because all the things I say are only as good as the people answering the phones, or the people answering the doors, or the people returning the emails. They're only as good as that. If you're looking for help, and it's almost impossible. Have you ever been to the health department? It's like, I don't even know how to describe it. There's horrific waiting lines. If you feel like nobody's paying any attention to you, it's awful. There's a lot of things wrong, a lot of things right, but a lot of things wrong with how people are managed when they step into any of those particular arenas to get some help. So I think we're going to have a show about testing how easy it is to get help when you ask for it. Monday, I talked about Okay to Talk. I talked about the forum that I had gone to at Quantum Foundation over here in Palm Beach. It was amazing. There were teachers. There were parents of children who had lifelong mental challenges. There were some recipients of the help at the mental health clinic that spoke out. There was representatives from the police department, from the sheriff's office, from our judicial system, lots of teachers, lots of people that work for different organizations, rehab centers, halfway houses, things like that. Very, very interesting, very moving to know that there's a lot of people that have dedicated their lives to making this better. I did find out, though, that there's a really awful connection between mental illness and our judicial system, our enforcement part of law. And that is the fact that in many cases, somebody who is struggling with mental health, with all these issues, can't get any help. They can't get themselves the medication that they need. They can't get all the things that they need to have to manage their own personal mental health care. So what they do is they get street drugs. They self-medicate. They do whatever they need to do to make themselves feel all right. Consequently, that often lands them in jail, incarcerated. And we watched a video in regard to that about return visits from some of our mentally challenged. And some of them are trying to live their life. There was a woman in her late 30s, I believe, 4 children. She had been arrested and incarcerated 29 times recently. Another gentleman, 31 times, and he was mildly retarded, functionally retarded, but also had schizophrenia and things like that, and needed to be on medication. And when different red tape would get broken, he wouldn't be able to follow through and get the things he needed. The same with the woman. So that meant that they bought weed illegally, pills illegally, whatever they could find, whatever was offered to them. And sometimes that meant stealing to have the money to get it. So it's a vicious circle. Although there was a lot of positive conversation about what is being done in the jails today, I did a little bit of research on my own. I talked to some people that I know that have been in the local county jails and asked them if it is being handled the way it was portrayed. And their answer was, I think sometimes, but not all the time. And of course, I knew that answer before anybody told me that. Because again, it's the people that have their hands in the job are really the most important, because it's up to them to follow through and do the things that their teachers, their supervisors believe that they're doing. At any rate, it's sad, and it's not the way it's supposed to be. It's gotten out of hand. That I read this week, and the statistics that I was shown at the forum are very, very, very scary. So I advertised on my Facebook page about the different seminars that are coming up. There's one in Belgrade on February 4th at 1977 College Drive, Belgrade. And there's one in Jupiter on February 28th on 140 Intercoastal Point. And there's one in Delray Beach on March 29th at the Public Library in Delray. But the big one, the one that they've invited the director of the Center for Mental Health Services, is on April 25th. I urge you all to take an interest in this. I urge you all to remember that if it's not in your life now, it could be. And being aware of it is half the battle. Being aware of the fact that it could happen to you or yours is being ahead of the game. This flyer is sponsored by a lot of different organizations: Mental Health Association, Southeast Florida Behavioral Health, Quantum Foundation, Children's Services Council, Palm Healthcare Foundation, the Sheriff's Department, Palm Beach State College, the Lord's Place, NAMI of Palm Beach County, the School District of Palm Beach County, PTA, it's the Palm Beach County Council, PTA, and SAMHSA. So if you question, or you're worried, or you think that something might be going on with somebody in your family, I would urge you to get out. And that the admission is free. The public is welcome to all of these forums. So please. And you can always touch base with me if you have any questions. You can call me on the show at 347-989-0352 or at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday in the morning. Or you can contact me on my Facebook page, Renee Brewer, or you may email me at Renee, R-E-E-N-I-E, dot Brewer, B-R-E-W-E-R, 91, at gmail.com. And I'll do everything in my power to help with whatever issues you have going on. Tuesday, as it was Mental Health Week, Tuesday we stayed in the same line of conversation, but we talked about how mental illness often correlates with bullying. And we talked about Sandy Hook. We talked about the movie theater, the young man who went in during Dark Night and killed all those people is on trial as we speak. And he's obviously under some mental duress, obviously. All you have to do is look at him, and you know something is going on. You may not know what, but you know something is going on. The young man from Sandy Hook, for years, had very strange behavior. And I suspect that his mom suffered with something along the same lines, maybe controlled it better, maybe was a better actress, whatever the case may be. She was a teacher at the school that he went in and killed all the children and the teachers in. How many people in this small town knew that this was a volatile situation? How many people in this small town had an idea that somebody, you know, was not in complete control of their faculties? And maybe both of these people, the mother and the child. It's another one of those stories where, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And I question how many responsible adults knew, heard the rumors, saw things for themselves, and didn't say anything to anybody, or didn't step up to the plate, or didn't do anything. Look at the rewards they reaped. Horrific rewards for pretending something doesn't exist. A horrific outcome to end an awful, a very sad, a very big problem that everybody pretended didn't exist. We also talked about when somebody is challenged, they are often the victim of bullying. They are often the one that gets singled out and picked on. And if you are running at 100%, you still have difficulties taking on the challenge of somebody singling you out and picking on you. I think we all get that. But imagine if you can't sort things out in your own head, which is how I describe mental illness. Everything's up there, I think. But a lot of it isn't in the right place. And if you're struggling with your mental health, you can't sort through it. You can't distinguish this from that and that from this. Imagine living your life like that. So in a school situation, even in a work situation, through my years in the job and work arena, I have taken in, as employees, people from different places that are having trouble finding jobs because they're not considered to be totally in charge of their faculties for whatever reasons. Maybe it's a handicap like, I don't know, like mild retardation or mental illness, mental challenges, or physical challenges. Years and years and years ago in Ithaca, New York, I had dishwashers in the restaurant that I worked in and that were challenged, and they came from Challenge Industries, where they took old things and refurbished them and sold them to support a group home and a business. Amazing. In Miami, I managed a hotel, and I took mostly men from a recovery house. Some of them had spent a long time in prison. Some of them were just street kids that had grown up on drugs and dealing drugs and been involved in that lifestyle and got their act together. I gave them jobs. Here in West Palm, when I was managing a very beautiful place that believed in helping everyone, I brought in girls from work release. And the stories, the good stories, by far outweighed a couple bad ones. So it is about giving people a chance and letting them get out of that mold that was preset for them. But bullying and being picked on often includes those of us who are struggling with who we are to begin with. So imagine trying to take on both of those challenges. Awful, scary. and sometimes a mountain that they really can't climb. Wednesday, however, we talked about some really good stuff in regard to holistic care, more natural care, the availability of natural oils and food grade medicinal nuances that are out there that have probably been out there since our grandparents and their grandparents were alive. But we moved on to things that were supposedly more advanced. We learned about getting hydrochloric acid under control with leafy green juice. We learned about the benefits of coconut oil, which were awesome, and magnesium glycinate. I can never say that word right. People should be taking in two tablespoons of coconut oil in a juice, in your food, however you can consume it on a daily basis. It helps anxiety and depression, as well as the magnesium. Headaches, and I tried this week because I've got a little tiny bit of a cold from our weather changes here in Florida, and I've always had sinus stuff, and I get a headache. And Monica told me to try spraying magnesium oil on the back of my neck. And I did, and sat and relaxed and closed my eyes for a minute, and my headache was gone. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. We talked about B-complex. For those of you out there who are not vegetarians, she talked about dehydrating liver and grinding it up and putting it in her own capsules. We talked about D3 vitamin, liquid or pill, being very beneficial because we need D. Sunshine is imperative to good mental health. Then we had a really interesting conversation about sunscreen. The fact that putting that on your face is often not the best thing for you to do. But if you use coconut oil by mouth, like we suggested in the beginning of the show, the 2 tablespoons a day, it actually promotes the oils and everything in your body and helps you tolerate the sun without burning. Very, very interesting stuff. And these two ladies, Monica and Shelley, are continuing their research so that we'll always have something once a week. I am working diligently because one of the ladies that I'd like to talk on the show is on the West Coast, which would mean she'd have to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to be on the 7 a.m. show. But she is a somebody who's very knowledgeable in blue-green algae. And I have another young lady that's here that's been on the show before who's also involved in that. So we will have a show about blue-green algae and the benefits of that, even for the things that we're talking about for the mental illness week. We also talked about the anxiety and the being able to calm yourself on other shows. And a lot of times meditation and things like that are very, very beneficial. Just remember the song, slow down, you move too fast. You gotta make the morning last. That's a big part of what's going on with us. We have to stop and smell the roses. Thursday, we talked about everything that's going on with mental illness again. We talked about the fact that people get lost in the system. We talked about the fact that in a lot of cases, people are struggling to maintain and they end up in that bad place. They end up where they can't do anything about anything because they're incarcerated. And, of course, that's what Monday's show was about, but we retouched on that because that's the statistics on that are mind-blowing, mind-blowing. And I think that we need help recognizing that. We need people to be better trained so that they recognize what's going on, understand when somebody's going through a challenge like that versus a momentary meltdown. You have people out there that struggle every day to maintain just some kind of balance. And I think that when that's going on, if they don't have somebody to talk to, if they don't have a place to go, then they resort to, like I said earlier, self-medication, sometimes alcoholism, sometimes drug use. This is one of the big components with the conversations about legalizing marijuana, because in many cases, this is going to be a part of the group that wants to have that readily available. Now, right or wrong, that's not the discussion, but illegally being able to use it is a problem because you'll go to jail. And according to the officials that were at the meeting on Friday, they talked about the fact that they're managing that and that every day they're training more and more people who know what to recognize, how to recognize it, and what to do about it. And in the video that I watched, they showed these people, and they showed videos of them when they first arrived at these particular prisons or jails. Sometimes it's a county jail, sometimes it's a state prison. And they were out of control, totally out of control. And the powers that be in these places have taken over, stepped in, and evaluated with the help of their medical team and put these people back on something that helps them maintain. Still means that they do their time, however. Once they get them in a good place, they don't get to just go home. They have to serve their sentence for what they did wrong. And there's something about that that I understand it, but I don't like it. I get it, but I can't support it because it seems like, you know, so many people get forgiven for so many things in our world, from popes to presidents to movie stars, everybody. They all get forgiven for something. And to think that you can't be forgiven or exonerated, if you will, from making poor choices when you really can't situate your head well enough to know really at that particular point in time what's right and wrong, something about that doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem like they should be in the same place as the man who doesn't have any of that stuff going on, or the woman that doesn't have any of those things going on and still commits a crime. It doesn't make sense to me that that's all meshed in together. So we also talked in length yesterday about the Baker Act, and we talked about the Marchman Act as well, and we talked about the fact that both of these things are temporary fixes. Both of these things are expensive to run, and a lot of people have to be involved, a lot of watchmen, if you will, a lot of caretakers, a lot of key holders are all involved with that. And in the case of a major emergency, a Baker Act at a hospital can sometimes be very beneficial. But if you're going to a government-funded place, it's often not very nice. And I've talked to many, many people about this. And, of course, when you talk to somebody who's immersed in something that they don't like, they don't very often like it. I know that. We know that. But the fact of the matter still remains, they have pretty horrific stories. And I imagine they're very difficult to deal with, so there's always two sides to the story, especially a story like this. So you take with a grain of salt. But my point here is that if people are repetitively being Baker-acted and put in a three-day detox. Doesn't that tell you that it's not working? Doesn't that tell you that we're sending good money after bad? And if money is an issue, which I believe it always is, we need to revamp how we manage that particular entity. It's a good idea, I think. I think it has to be there, but I still think that it needs to be revamped so that it means more, so that the outcome is more positive and more favorable to the people that are involved in it. If it's your child, your husband, your sister, your best friend, you want to know that what happens to them when you can no longer handle them doesn't hurt them. Isn't that what you all want to know? Isn't that what you all want to believe? All the parents that I've spoken to in the past few years that have got kids, some of them old kids, some of them young kids, that are experiencing addiction, and a lot of times the addiction has manifested from very early on ADHD, a behavioral problem, right? Behavioral problem doesn't mean you're mentally ill, doesn't mean you've got a missing link. It means that you're having a behavioral problem. Well, the behavioral problem gets treated with some kind of medicinal answer. ADHD is often addressed with Adderall or Risperdal or back in, 30 years ago, there were other Ritalin and all those kind of things. And now we know that all of those things that we thought were getting our adorable little boy that we love more than life itself to sit quietly in a kindergarten class. But then, you know, he takes it, he's in first grade, he's in second grade, and all of a sudden it's not enough. So now you got more bigger problems. So we get a bigger pill. And by the time these particular kids are 16 and 17, there's issues. And they're almost always self-medicating. And I'm not saying this is the only reason kids do this. Please don't misunderstand me. I am saying, though, this early on treatment manifests the rest of this major snowball. I spoke a few weeks ago about finding out after spending time with a young man who's struggling that one of his friends told him he should chew his Adderall because you feel much better right away. I said, so does that mean now you're chewing your Adderall? He said, yeah. And I said, are you still taking the same dose? Oh, no, I get it whenever I can and chew it. So, you know, me and my not-so-infinite wisdom sits here and goes, okay, so now he's really addicted to chewing Adderall. So where's that going to go? Well, you know where it's going to go. It's going to go to much bigger, much better, much more expensive, much more difficult to get for a 16 or 17-year-old. So what's he going to do? He's going to get in trouble. You can almost see it, you know, step-by-step procedural in your head. So a lot of this started with the efforts of trying to get a child to behave themselves in kindergarten and in first grade. And you knew they were a handful. I'm not sure when that started to be something that we gave a pill for. I do remember my youngest child is 40. So 40 years ago, he had friends. My other kids had friends that were on some kind of medication. And my girlfriends had kids who were on medication because they were just super hyper and wouldn't sit in the class and wouldn't pay attention. And I took care of kids back in those days. And I'd see those kind of kids as compared to the ones that you could color with or read a book to, and they could sit and listen to the whole book. You'd have another kid that couldn't do any of that, couldn't stop, couldn't slow themselves down long enough to even know what it was you wanted from them. So it was an issue. Now I know that a lot of that can be changed with diet. I know that. I've seen that. I've proven that to myself. It's been proven to me by others. diet and intake of sugar and caffeine can change a five-year-old, totally change a five-year-old, turn them from a sweet kid that likes to be read to, especially stories that they love, or likes to watch SpongeBob SquarePants and can sit very quietly and watch SpongeBob, into a bouncing off the back of the couch, thumping the basketball in the middle of the kitchen, to this kid that you want to tie down someplace. I get it. However, long term, you're starting a snowball rolling that will only get bigger, meaner, harder to deal with. So a lot of the things that we're experiencing now are things that we set in play, like I said, probably 40 years ago is when it really started being something that was done on a regular basis. And more recently, 15 to 20 years ago, I bet if we took a survey in a first grade class, we'd find out that out of 20 kids, a quarter of them, which would be like five, were on some kind of medication. Now, that used to appall me when I knew that about a group of adults, that they were taking something to maintain and to be able to function all day long. That bothered me. It really bothers me to feel that way about kids. But we know it's true. We know that it's true. So that's why I'm touching this whole week, and I am going to support all these meetings that are going on, and I hope everybody gets it. I hope everybody understands the significance of what's going on out there. Because I don't know about the rest of you. I'm 65. I plan on being here several more years. I plan on watching all my great-grandchildren become young adults. That's what I plan. And I don't want to see them go down the road that I see getting wider and wider every day right now, every day. I also want to make mention that I have some friends who have some mental health challenges, and several of them are amazing people, very caring, very sweet, and they have no desire to be rocket scientists, so they don't miss that, but they function at a job, they do all the things they're supposed to do, and in some cases, they have found a medication, or their doctors have found a medication that keeps them in that place. Shelley and I had a bit of a, which we love to do, by the way, a bit of a discussion yesterday. Shelley is a diehard diet advocate. By diet, I mean chemical-free, animal-free, all those kind of things, and it's because it's changed her life. So, of course, when you do something that changes who you've been for so many years for the better, you want to share it with everybody. You want to knock down doors to get people to listen because you're so sure that you can help somebody, and it's a wonderful thing. But because, as she mentioned at the end of the show, we've had different lives, and we've dealt with different situations, different problems, etc. I also feel that diet is imperative to good health. Absolutely, I feel that way. I know with my own self. I baked a confetti cake last night and had a piece of it and woke up in the middle of the night with an intense hangover. Now, you might be laughing when you hear that, but I've been overweight all my life. Sugar is my major addiction. And when I eat a whole piece of cake like that, I mean, I had a good dinner. I did everything pretty good all day long. I had some soup for lunch. I had some scrambled eggs with spinach in them for breakfast. And then at night, I decide, oh, of course, I have a peanut gallery that loves me to do things like that. But about 2 o'clock this morning, I woke up with a raging headache, just like a hangover. Dry mouth, a hangover. Why? Because I shouldn't have that sugar, and I know that. So diet is incredibly important, and I do believe in it. But I also believe that there are some challenges, mental health challenges, that is imperative for that individual or those individuals to maintain a certain quality of life. They've got to have something. But the trick, I believe, is to have doctors that care enough to keep working until you find the right balance. Nobody wants to be a vegetable. Nobody wants to sit there with drool running down the side of their face because they're on so much stuff that they couldn't tell you where they were if you pointed to it on the map. So they want to maintain. They want to be normal. They want to be able to function. They want to get up in the morning and fix breakfast for their kids, get the kitchen straightened up, go do a job someplace, be appreciated at their job, come home, be able to maintain at home all evening, do homework with their kids and fix dinner and all of the above. That's all they want to do. They want to be normal like that. And in some cases, I have seen a totally different person evolve on specific medication, medication that suits them, medication that keeps them in the place that they need to be. So I don't want to downplay the fact that in some cases that's needed. And Shelley and I will always have differences of opinion. That's what makes us a good team. And that has also cemented a really, really good friendship and relationship. I know people like that. I know them very well. And without their medication, they suffer greatly. They suffer greatly. So I do believe that both of these worlds working in tandem is awesome. Imagine if you could take somebody like that who has found the right balance of medication and put them in touch with living a healthier lifestyle. Imagine what can happen to them. First of all, they can tolerate their medications better because they're building their immune system and they're putting their body in a place of good mechanics. In other words, my liver's doing what it's supposed to do, my kidney's doing what it's supposed to do, my pancreas, and then, of course, the all-important heart and the sometimes even more important brain is doing all the stuff it's supposed to be doing. And if you enhance that with the right kind of food and diet, you're unstoppable. But I do believe that with mental challenges, often there needs to be some help in creating the right balance in all the things that are released, and the serotonin and all the other things that we have to make sure is being released into our bodies at the right time and balance it. I also wanted to bring up today for our recap that domestic violence is another topic that we are going to discuss probably in the weeks to come, because domestic violence, of course, and sometimes domestic violence is touched by mental illness or the inability to get to that balanced state. Today's world is full of challenges, and many young people can't survive. Many people, many young people at the age of 30 often live in a rented room in somebody's house. Now, when I was growing up, the American dream was to graduate from high school, and if you were lucky enough to go to college, you should go to college. It wasn't pushed on women, by the way. when I was a young woman. Not like it is today. So you move on. And your job when I was growing up as a woman was to find a man who was going to take care of you. And you could do something, but it didn't have to be a big deal. It could just be, you know, something that got you out of the house once in a while. That's the way it was looked at. Even after Rosie the Riveter took her stand in the 50s, that part of our life, I was born in 1948. So in the 60s and the 70s, if you didn't want to be a hairdresser or a waitress or work at the cosmetic counter at Woolworths, your choices were small. And being in Ithaca at that time, I met a lot of Cornell students, and a lot of them were women. And I was like, God, how did you know that you should go to college? Nobody ever talked to me about college. We didn't have money, so, you know, and I was not a straight-A student, so there was no hope of a scholarship. It was all about just survival, getting a job, finding a husband, having a family, and buying a house, and blah, blah, blah. And that was it. Now, of course, it's different. And women have taken a much higher platform in the whole of life. But back then, that was all you had to do. And there was a lot of mental illness with moms. But nobody ever talked about it. And a lot of times, it was abuse with women. But nobody ever talked about it. I remember being at a lioness. I was a charter lioness. And this organization that was from NOW, it was a derivative of NOW, National Organization for Women, came in and showed us a video at a lioness meeting about spousal abuse. And I sat watching this with women I've known since I was like 17, and by now I'm, you know, like pushing 30. And during this video, five women in a room of about 20 got up and left the room, couldn't watch the video. And I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, does that mean what I think it means? And these were women I knew very well. And men that they were married to, that I knew very well. They were being abused and nobody knew it. By men that everybody liked. Everybody thought were good guys. You never saw any sign of that when they were out socially or anything. And yet that's what was happening behind closed doors. Sometimes when a woman gives birth in succession, many times, they get baby blues, postpartum depression. And they're very difficult to deal with. And the husband would come home and the dishes are piled high in the sink and the house is dirty and it smells like diapers and everything. And they go nuts because they just went out and worked all day. It became a cycle. It was horrible for a time. At least now people talk about it. At least now there's options. All over the state of Florida, there's apartment complexes and things like that where women that have been abused can go and get away from their abuser. But domestic violence is at an all-time high. And I don't know whether that's because it's finally out of the closet or whether it's really worse because of drugs and all the other things that go on in our lives today, or alcoholism, or what. But I know that it's at an all-time high. There is a video on my Facebook page. It's a movie that was made called Private Violence. And it was, there's an interview on my Facebook page. I suggest that if anything like that is going on in your home, that you watch this video and reach out to somebody. But part of all of this little pieces of all these things that I'm talking about today often have a link, maybe not in the very front of the picture, but somewhere there's a link to mental health, somebody's ability to deal with the things that happen in everyday life. And if they can't, and they resort to the different addictions, often it's alcohol. Sometimes, I mean, I've had so many people say to me, well, that's why I smoke a joint. I just relax. I don't get mean. And I think to myself, that could be true. I've never smoked a joint, so I'm going to take a stand here about something that I may not have the right to do. But if you get so relaxed that you can't get out of your own way, that's not very good either. That's really not very good either. So I'm not condemning it. I'm not condoning it. I condemn it where it's illegal because you'll get yourself in trouble. But as far as being able to take a stand of what's right or wrong in regard to it, I can't because I've never done it. But I have seen people who seem to maintain smoking a joint every now and then, a lot of older people, surprisingly, I guess maybe not surprisingly, maintain a place of relaxation and less anxiety and in some cases less depression when they're using that. But again, I don't condone it because it's still illegal. But I condemn hurting another person. There's no reason for anybody to lay their hands on you for any reason. I don't care. I don't care what it is. If somebody's laying their hands on you and hurting you in some way, you have to get out of there. And it can't be a secret. And I don't think it's the kind of secret that it used to be. And I certainly don't think there's the kind of stigma attached to it that there was way back in the day when a woman was afraid to tell anybody. I think it's a lot more open, and I think we've come a long way with that. But all of this, the Sandy Hook murders, the Dark Knight murders, child abuse, spousal abuse, and sometimes it's reversed, by the way. Sometimes it's the woman who's the aggressor. I've seen that as well. All of those things have a link someplace in the picture to mental health, to poor mental health. So starting at the starting point is what I'm trying to find. I'm trying to really find the starting point. If we want to make a difference, we have to talk. If we're going to talk, we have to decide where the starting point is. Does it start with addiction? Does it start with the mental health aspect of it? Whether or not you're capable of getting out of a bout of depression, whether you're capable of getting away from your own personal anger, if something makes you so angry that you can't even talk, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And if you strike out whenever you're angry, something's wrong. So I suspect that right near that starting point to do with mental health, I suspect that mental health, getting that under control, that you can do today, like I said, with a lot of natural things. You don't have to run right out and get a prescription for anything. You can do some of this with natural actions. The magnesium that we talked about, all the different B-complex, D3, all those kind of things. Some of these people that come to me with this stuff have struggled with either depression or anxiety, sleep disorders, they can't sleep, they go around the clock, all this kind of stuff. And they think it's because they drink coffee and Diet Pepsi or regular Pepsi, all the caffeine, or Mountain Dew, there's a killer. And they do that all day and smoke cigarettes so that they don't know whether they're coming or going, and that's probably a part of it. But something drove you there. Something drove you to needing all those things every day, all day, every day, all day, every day, all day. So we have to think about the starting point. And I suspect that we're very close to the starting point when we touch on mental health. So I urge everybody again to look at my Facebook page, read a little bit about the forum that's taking place in the months to come. It's called hashtag OK2Talk, all capital letters. It's a national dialogue on mental health for creating community solutions. They want your stories, your input, your ideas to create an action plan to prevent youth struggling with mental illness from needlessly entering the legal system. And I think there isn't anything at this particular point in time that's more important than helping the people that are going to be here the longest, and that's our youth. Be here the longest if we can help them so that we don't have all the suicides, we don't have all the damage that is done and leaving people in a vegetative state because of choices. So the starting point, I think, should be the mental illness aspect of it and getting ourselves together with that and working on getting that to a better place. But I do believe that it takes all of us. I do believe that it takes awareness. I do believe that you all need to be paying attention to what's going on in your own life before you look across the street to help them, help yourself, before you look over the back fence to see what's going on over there. Make sure that you've taken care of what's going on in your yard, in your house first. I think that's imperative for us all to remember and all of us to practice. I also want to say that there's a lot of information out there on the internet highway. And if you question any of the things that I talk about on the show, I suggest that you do some research and see really what is going on out there, because I think in some cases you'll be relieved, and a lot of other cases you'll be upset. A lot of things go on every day that are not very nice. A lot of things go on every day that are beautiful. And the internet is an amazing place to do that kind of research. But I think the more informed we are, the better opportunity that we have to keep ourselves in a good place. And, of course, there is the aspect of money and the expense of everything that is desired by us. And I'm not talking about a Rolls Royce. I'm talking about a Honda. I'm not talking about a castle. I'm talking about a home. And I'm not talking about a Gucci bag. I'm just talking about a pocketbook. I'm talking about being able to maintain today with the monetary value that is put on everything. We may get back to a point where we grow our own vegetables. We may get back to a point where our forefathers really took care of themselves, their home, and their family without depending on all these outside entities to be able to survive in a world. Money is also at that starting point someplace. And achievement and success is at that starting point. So I want to again encourage everybody to research, see what's going on in their world. If somebody in your family is struggling with a mental health challenge, please reach out to somebody, even if it's just to talk. And again, you can friend me on Facebook. I answer all my personal messages. I will talk to anybody that needs to be talked to. You talk, and I'll listen, I promise. So everybody go out there and have a great weekend. It's been cold and rainy here in South Florida, but we are not contending with anything like our northern friends are. Snowbanks. Somebody sent me a Facebook picture. They opened their front door and there was an indentation of the door in the snow pile that was in front of their door. Very funny, but not very funny. And of course, all the things that happened in Atlanta this week. Good luck to all those people who went through all that stress and inability to move. That must have been awful. But God bless everybody. Have a good one. Talk to you Monday. Bye-bye.